begin the current Tav Masechta Yuma Daf Chav Gimel. We begin 17 lines down from the Tav of the Yamed, where the Gemara continues discussing our Mishnah. And that is, the Mishnah told us on the previous Daf that originally, Berishayna, if someone wanted to do Trumas Hadeshin from that base of the family that was doing the Avodah that day in the base of Mikdash, he would go ahead and do it. However, if more than one person wanted to do it, it would race to the top of the Kevesh, to the top of the ramp. Whoever got within four Amos of the top of the Mizbeach first, he's the one that got the merit of doing the Avodah of the Trumas Hadeshin, taking off that shovel full of the pile of ashes that was on the Marocha and putting on the side of the Kevesh. Now let's say they were even, there was a tie, the race. Then the halacha was that they would go ahead and make a pious. They would make this lottery, they would line up all the kohanim in a circle, and they would take off one person's hat, and they would start from him, and make up the one in charge would make up a large number, and they would go around counting, and wherever it ended, that one merited to do that way in Trumas Hadeshin. Now, Mishnah told us, and that's what our Gemara is quoting, Umahin Mitzin. Now, we said that, as we explained in the previous daf, you're not allowed to count individuals, even for Dvar Mitzvah. Rather, they would count objects, or in this case, we count their fingers, but not the people themselves, as in counting their heads. And that the Mishnah said, Umahin Mitzin. Now, what would they stick out in regards to their fingers? And that the Mishnah said, Achas Eshtayim, either one or two fingers. So the Gemara asks on that, Hashter Eshtayim Mitzin, if they were allowed to put out two fingers, do you have to say they can put out one? In other words, we're saying that you're counting them as they're going along. So if you can put out two, most definitely you could put out one. So what is it saying, one or two? Some Rav Chizki says, Lo kashna, it's not a difficulty because one or two is not up to the volition. It's not the choice of the individual. It depends on the circumstance. That is, Khan, when we said that it has to be one finger, because again, we're counting each individual, we're counting those numbers accordingly, was bibari by a healthy person, a regular kohen has to stick out just one person. And we're counting each one, and we go accordingly to see where it's going to stop. Khan, here where we said that it could be oishtayim, it could be two fingers, was talking in reference b'chayla, to an ill person. What that means is that he can't hold back his fingers. And that is, if he has to stick out one finger, the other finger next to it is going to stick out with it. In that case, we said that we allow him, although we don't generally allow an individual to stick out more than one finger, by him, since he's ill, we allow the second finger to be stuck out. As the Gemara says, like we learned in the Braisa, it says, Achas Maitzian, one finger you're allowed to stick out for this lottery, Shtayim Maitzian, you're allowed to stick out two fingers. Now, Bamedev, remember, when was this said that you could only have one, not two fingers? That was Bibori, by a healthy kind. Av Bechayla, Afal Shtayim Maitzian, but an ill person, he could even stick out two. Now, however, the Braisa does tell us that v'hayichidin, the ill people that were by themselves, that they didn't sit next to everybody else, rather they were laying or sitting by themselves, mitzien shtayim, as we just said before, that the ill people, they could stick out too. However, ve'ein moin lehen ela achas, we only count as one person. So although we let him to stick out two fingers, although generally we don't let that, we're not counting both fingers as individual numbers to get us to the final tally of where we're going to end. Rather, we count him as one person anyway. Now, that the Gemara asks, Ve'ein moinin loy ela achas? Is that really true that we only count that person as one? So we resolve the question of our Mishnah, achas ishtayim. One is by healthy, two is by unhealthy. But anyway, we only count each person as one. Although he has to stick out both fingers, we'll count it as one number. Now, in that the Gemara asks, is that really true? But V'tayim lent l'braisim that says, Ein moitzin, you're not allowed to stick out together with the etzba, with the index finger, loy shalish, not the middle finger, v'loy goydel, and not the thumb. And the reason is, as we said before, that you're not allowed, because you're not allowed to stick out two fingers. And that is m'pnei harimoyim, as we explained in the previous stuff, because of the people that are deceivers, that they see, they start figuring out the numbers and the calculation, they realize that it's going to end by the person right after him. So one of the times before, he sticks out two fingers so that the kohen that's in charge won't realize and count as two, and it'll end one earlier, which means he'll merit to do the Trumas Hadeshin. So therefore, you're not allowed to stick out more than one finger. Now, it depends which finger he ultimately sticks out, the extra one, what will be the consequences. That is, v'im hoitzi shalish, if let's say a person did stick out two fingers, it was the ring finger, it was the index finger, and it was the middle finger. So then, mainin loy, that we will count him, again as one, we don't count even by an ill person as two, we'll count him. And the reason is because we don't see him as a deceiver, because it's obvious that it's not coming from two people, because you can't get your ring finger, you can't get your index finger and the middle finger that far away. So it's obvious that it's from one person. Now, however, the Gemara does assume now that when we're saying that Moinoloi, it does mean, and this is what the Gemara's question is, that what you're saying, we only count as one, but we see over here that although you're not allowed to stick out the middle finger, but if you did stick it out, then we're going to count it. So the Gemara is going to ask, so you see, you do count it as two different numbers in the metrics in regards to counting the final tally. However, Goydel, if the person sticks out his thumb, then the halacha is going to be different. Ein moinelei. Then we don't count him at all. Rather, we get rid of him. He's not even in the lottery at all. V'loyed, not only that, actually, he gets whipped by the person that's in charge of the whip. He gets malchus for doing this, for trying to deceive the avodah for the kahanim. Now, the Gemara's question is, so how can you say by the ill person, who we allow even to stick out two fingers, that even if he sticks out two, only going to count him as one, when here, when you're not allowed to be even allowed to stick out two fingers, but if it was the middle one, which anyways you're not deceiving us, we'll count it, and that means, as the Gemara assumes, that we'll count it as two, because what does it mean we're counting it? And so therefore, most definitely, by chayla, you're allowed to stick out, then for sure we should count it as two numbers. But the Gemara answers, my moinu noy nami, what does it really mean? That we're going to count him achas, it means one, meaning in contrast, let's say, to the thumb, where you could stick it out, it could look like two different people. There, we kick him out, we even give him malchus. When we say we count the one that sticks out the middle finger, it's like, what are you doing? You know, you're not tricking us anyway, so we'll count you, but not as two, but as one, just like we said for the chayla, that we're only counting it as one and not as two. Now, parenthetically, the Gemara says, my pekia, what is, when we brought in this, that we bring him to the one that's in charge of the pekia, so that was what the Brisa says, we translated, but the Gemara asks, what does it mean, the one that was in charge of the pekia? Amarav madra means madra, so the Gemara asks, my madra, what's madra? So Amarav Papa, it's martaka de tayoy, it's the whip from the Arabs, and that is, they had this strap that was made to make the horses go quicker, the psik reshe, that the top of it was chopped up, and what that means is the pekia is from, comes from the word of tearing, of splitting, of ripping, and that whip was not wide on the top like other straps are that are used for whipping. Rather, the way they made their whips was they would make it, they would cut the tip into small little strips so that the horse should really feel it, because it gives a real good whip and that'll make it go fast. So that's what it means, that they would give him, this person that was trying to deceive in the lottery, they would send him to the kohen in charge of the one that was in charge of the pekia, which means say in charge of the whip, that was this really hard whip that really you felt that lash, that's what he would get for trying to deceive. Now, based on this definition of the one that's in charge of the pekia, means in charge of the whip, Abaya says, Meresh Havamina, originally I had thought, the Hadidna, this that we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Shkolim in the fifth parak, that says Ben Bevi, who is the name of a person, he's Mamunna ala Pekiah, was talking about all those that are in charge of different offices. So it says he was in charge of the Pekiah. So Amina Psilta, I always learned, I thought it meant the one that was in charge of the wicks. Kiditna, like we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Sukkah, that we see that the term Pekiah could also mean tearing in reference to making wicks, as it says that Mibloi Michnase HaKahanim Umihem Yonehen, that from the worn out breeches, from the pants that the kahanim would wear, and from their belts, mehen hoyu mafkin, from them they would tear, they would rip it up when it wasn't, they had no utility for it anymore, to make wicks for the simchas beis hasheiva on the Yom Tov of Sukkos, ubehen hoyu matlikin, and with these wicks they would light, they would make the whole simcha by simchas beis hasheiva. So I thought that that's what it meant, that the one in charge of the pekiah meant in charge of the wicks, because you see that they use that term of mafkin in reference to making wicks. However, Kivin the Shaman al Haditanya, but once I learned this Braisa that we just quoted, not only that, that this one that tries to deceive, we don't count him, but he actually gets lashes from the one that's in charge of the Pekiah. I mean, my Pekiah. Now I say, what does it mean, Pekiah, that this Bevi was appointed over the Pekiah? It means Nagda, means the whip, as in context over here, where we're saying that he's getting whipped. That's the same thing with Ben Bevi now in definition of the Mishnah Masech Deshkolim. It means he was in charge of that whip. Now the Gemara resumes discussing our Mishnah that said that, okay, that's what they used to do. They used to, whoever wanted to do it would do it. If more than one wanted to do it, they would race to the top. However, Maisa Shayu Shnein Shaman, it once happened that they were both stride, they were like even, and they were Ratz and Ba'il Mekevish, they were running up and going on top of the ramp. And then that happened where the person broke his leg, and then they made this takana, no more racing, we're going to do the lottery always from the beginning. So similarly, the Gemara brings a different incident. The Torah bundle in the Braisim. Ma'isha b'shnei kahanim. There was an incident with two kahanim. Shoyishnein shavin. Again, they were even. V'ratzin v'oil mekevish. And they were running up to the top of the ramp to see who was going to get there first and get to avoid the Trumas Hadashim. Kodem echad mehen l'teich arba amash el chaber. So one of them got there first before the dalet amas of his friend to get to the top of the ramp and get there and merit the avoidah of the Trumas Hadashim. Notel sakin. So the other one who lost, he took a knife, and he stuck it, and he murdered the other kind, he stuck it in his heart. So Amud Reb Tzadik al Mailas Ulam. So Reb Tzadik got up by the steps of the hall. Now in the Har Bayis, in the Temple Mount, there were many different halls that Hordas had built, as it's brought down in Sefer Yosef Ben Gurion and Josephus, that there was many halls. So he got up there on the steps of the halls of Amud, and he said the following. He said, "Achenu Beis Yisrael Hashem." He says, "My brothers, the Jewish people, listen to me." Harei Omer, it says in the pasuk of Devarim, "Ki motzi chol ba'adama." It says, if you're going to find a dead person on the ground, the yatzu zikenecha v'sheftecha, and then your elders and your judges, they're going to go out. And that's in context of the Egla Rufa, when you find a dead person somewhere on the road, you have to find out which city is the closest one, and they have to do the process of the Egla Rufa, of the decapitated calf. So that it has to come out from the people of the closest city. So it says, "Anu amila hevi Egla Rufa." Who from us is going to bring the Egla Rufa? Alair, is it on the city of Jerusalem? Or is it coming upon the Kehanim in the courtyards, and they have to bring the Egla Rufa? Now, Tosfos explains that it's obvious that the Kehanim and the Azar don't bring the Egla Rufa, because the Pasuk says, Ha'ir HaKareva, the closer city. Now, the Azar, the courtyard, is not a city. Rather, as the Gemara will demonstrate, Amud Beis, he was just trying to cause, to stir the emotions of the people, to show that, look what's happened. You know, this is an incident of a death that causes an Egla Rufa to have to be brought. So the Gemara says, go, they will all start screaming, kolo om bepchia, they all start screaming with tears and with crying. Now, ba'aviv shaltinli, now the father of that boy that had died, that was murdered by the kevish on the ramp, so he came, u'matze kushumafarf, and he found his son still writhing, still moving around on the ground. He wasn't totally dead yet. Amar, so he said, harehu kaparaschem, he says that my son will be the atonement for you. In other words, his death should atone for this murder that occurred in the Beis HaMikdash. And he also said, v'adayim b'ni mefarfer, my son is still moving around, b'loy nitmasaken. The knife that murdered him has not yet contracted tumma. Because although there's halacha that the knife actually gets the same tumma as the tumma sames, actually becomes avi avais, but although it murdered him, it didn't become tumma because it didn't touch a dead body, because he's not dead yet. So the Gemara says, interestingly, lamedchon, this comes to teach you, shekosh aleim taras kelim, it was more important on some level for them, the purity of the vessels in the Beis HaMikdash, yosem eshvichas dam, more than murder. He wasn't even so concerned, on some level, that his son had died. He was more concerned, saying, oh, don't worry, the vessel did not become tamei. The Gemara says, v'chein oem, similarly, that's what the pasuk says in Melachim Beis. V'gam dam noki shofech menashe ha-bimoyed, and then also a lot of innocent blood Menashe had killed during that time. Adesh emoleyes Yerushalayim pelepan, until Yerushalayim was full with dead bodies from here to there. So you see that although they were concerned about the tumah of the kelim, but regarding the murder, they weren't so up in arms. Now the Gemara asked the following question. We brought down two incidents, one from our Mishnah, that they were racing up and one person broke his leg, and then here in the Brisa, that one person got murdered. So the Gemara is, Hai Meister Kodem, which story happened first? If you say the incident of the murder of the Brisa happened first, well, hashta shvichas damim loy tekinu payasa. If because of the murder, they weren't concerned about having to institute now no more racing because you see what happens, and to make a lottery, so now because of someone breaking his leg, they said, oh, someone broke his leg, we're going to have to make a lottery. Well, how does that make sense? Ella, so you have to say, nishbar raglit kodim. It means to say that the incident of someone breaking his foot happened first. Then the question is, v'kivin to tekin the payasa, as our Mishnah said, that after the incident of the person breaking his foot, they already instituted the lottery. So abam amos ma'avad tayu. How do we understand the story of the Brisa that they were running to get with him the four amos first, and therefore that caused him to murder him? If there's no more running anymore after the incident of the breaking a leg, which we're saying has to have happened first, so right away there was a lottery, so there's no more racing. How do we understand this? So Ella Rav, the Gemara says as follows. La'olam d'shvich is dam kadam. Truthfully, the story of the murder happened first. But umikara savar, originally they thought, akroi b'almahu. It's what, like they say, a freak story. It's not something that happens normally. You don't, generally, a murder doesn't happen because of someone trying to race to get the avodah of the Trumas Hadashin. And therefore, they didn't make any takanas. They left it as it is. But kivin d'chazi afilim emeilo aso d'sakanam. But once they saw that even by default, even passively, dangers are happening, in the sense of someone falling and breaking his leg, even without intentional murder or things to hurt someone else. So then to Kinder Rabban Piyasa, then they instituted a lottery because you see that it's just a dangerous situation, although Kohanim will not generally want to murder each other, but you see this danger, and therefore that was when they ultimately were misakin the lottery. Now, the Gemara quotes now from the Brisa, And it said, Amr Reb Yitzchok al Maila Su'ulam Ba'amr. Reb Tzadik got up on the steps of the hall and he said, Achenu Beis Yisrael Shimu. My brothers, the Jewish people, listen to me. It says, Napasik ki yimatzi chal ba'adama. It says that if you're going to find a dead person on the ground. And then he said, Sa'anan Amila Hevi, regarding us, who's going to bring the Egla Rufa? Al-Ir Oyal Azars. Is it on the city of Jerusalem that you all have to bring the Egla Rufa, or is it on the courtyard that Kahanim have to bring it? Now, the Gemara asks, V'Yushalayim Basasuya Egla Rufahi? What does it mean to say? Can Yushalayim actually bring an Egla Rufa? Are the people of the city, generally peoples of the city, have to bring it? Is Yushalayim such a city that could bring an Egla Rufa? But by time we learn the Braisa that says, Asar Dvarim Nemid Yushalayim. There are 10 unique things said about Yushalayim. The Gemara Baba Kama and Perek Meruba Daf Pebez Mabez explains what these 10 things are. And this is one of the 10, we continue on to Amid Beis, that Eina Mevia Egla Rufa, that Yerushalayim does not bring an Egla Rufa. And the reason is because it says in the Pasuk in Devarim Chaf Aleph, which says, Ki Matzei Chol Ba'adam, if you're going to find the dead person on the ground, and the Pasuk continues, it says, on your ground at Larishta, that's given to you for inheritance, now Yerushalayim is not a Yerusha. Because this Manda Amma holds, like the opinion that says that Yerushalayim was not subdivided amongst the Shvatim. It's everyone's. Therefore, there's no Yerusha, there's no inheritance inherent in the land of Yerushalayim. And therefore, it's not Larishta, so therefore the people of Yerushalayim cannot bring Egla Rufa. But Va'id, moreover, is a difficulty in what he meant to say. The Pasuk says, when do you bring Egla Rufa? You find the dead person, and no one knows who murdered him. Because if there's a murderer, you go ahead and you kill the murderer, you don't bring an Egla Rufa. It's only when it's unknown. Here we know who killed him. There was the kind that was racing up with him. So what do you mean to say, first of all, Yerushalayim cannot bring Egla Rufa? And second of all, it's not even the context of Egla Rufa, because we know who murdered him. Ella, rather, as we said before, Kedil Harbetz Bepchi. He was just doing that to increase the crying. He was giving an inspirational type of sensitivity, saying, look what happened, look what's going on, who's going to bring the Egla Rufa? But of course, in Halacha, there was no Egla Rufa that was in this situation. Now, it said there in that Braisa that Bo'aviv Shaltinik, and the father of the boy that was murdered, came, Umatzei Kishuma Farfri, find him writhing on the floor. Amar, he said, Harehu Kaparaschim, he said, he should be the atonement for you that this murder happened over here. And he even said, Vadaim b'nei kaim, etc. He said, my son is even still alive. And don't worry, the knife did not become tame. So that the Gemara said, Lametcha comes to teach you, Shekosh aleim taras kalem, that the purity of the vessels was more difficult in their eyes, that should be defiled. Yesem ishvichzdam, more than the murder that had transpired. So the Gemara said, they had the following question. What is the relativity of these two situations? Is it shvichas dam hu dizal? Is it that they had it was light in their eyes, the murder, that they didn't care so much about the life of a person that was murdered? Of a taharas kalim kadekama kama, and it's not that they had taharas kalim were so chomer. It's just that was status quo. It's just that murder was like nothing by them, and therefore there was that contrast. Maybe no, murder was murder. Of course, murder is a bad thing. And it was like, as always is, Altaris Kalim Hudachamir. But it's just that this purity of the vessel was so stringent by them that even though murder, which of course is a bad thing for everyone, they just were like, oh my, Taharis Kalim, it's so good that he didn't die and that it's still pure. Which one was the one that had gone up, or is that the other one had gone down? So that the Gemara says, Toshma, that we could bring the proof from the fact that the Gemara brought a raya to the incident by saying v'gam dam noki shofech Menashe, by bringing the pasuk that even much innocent blood Menashe had spilled, so shma minah shvichas dam hu dezal. Obviously, it's just that murder was light and was insignificant in their eyes, because you see that there was a lot of innocent blood spilled. Taras kalim kadekai mekai, and it's not that they were so stringent of the purity of the vessel. That was as it always is, which is a charma thing. However, it's just that murder was insignificant in their eyes, and that's why he wasn't so bothered in the sense of the murder, but rather that the purity of the vessels was still okay, that it didn't become tamei. Now the Gemara continues with a discussion related to the topic that we were discussing, and which is relevant to our Mishnah, regarding the sugya of Trumas Hadeshen, which again, Trumas Hadeshen is that you go in the morning, the first Avoida, and you take a shovel full, and you take off from the Maracha, which is where the animals, the limbs of the Yoyla and the fats of the different components were burning all night, and you have all these ashes. So you take a shovel full of ashes and you put it on the side, on the eastern side of the Kevesh, of the Mizbeach. Now, Tarban, the Gemara said, learned in the Braisa. There's a Pasuk of a Yikra, and this Pasuk is in Perek Vav Pasuk Dalet, that says as follows. It says, "Ufashad es begadav," that the kohen will take off his garments, "velavish begad machayim," and he'll dress up other garments, "vahitzi es hadeshin el mechutz lamachne," and he'll take out the ashes to outside of the camp, "el makom tar," to a pure place. So now the Gemara explains this. It says in the pasuk "Ufashad" that he'll take off his garments, "velavish begad machayim," and he'll put on other garments, "vahitzi es hadeshin," and he'll take out the ashes. And again, as we explained, this pasuk is talking about Hitzas Hadeshin. There's two avodas. There's Trumas Hadeshin, which is taking off like as if when you have produce, you have a truma, you take off a little bit for Hashem, for the kohen. So you take off a shovelful and you put it in the side of the Mizbeach. Then the rest of that ashes that's on what is called the Tapuach, which is this big pile of ashes in the middle of Mizbeach, you take, what do you do with all that? You take it out of the Machna, you take it out of the area, totally out of the Machna, not just on the side of the Mizbeach, but out of the Machna. Now, this pasuk of taking out the ashes is written right after the pasuk of Trumas Hadeshen. As it says in the pasuk, "Ufashad es begadav," that he'll take off the garments that he was wearing for the Trumas Hadeshen, but "lavash begadav" means he's going to put on other clothing. Now, the Brice says as follows. So, "Shemani kederche mikipurim," I would have thought to say that he has the same halachas as applies in Yom Kippurim, and that is the same obligations that the Kohen Gadol has when he does the five different avodas on Yom Kippurim, that the same thing would apply when someone is going from doing the Trumas Hadeshen, as the pasuk says, and right after he wants to do the Hitzas Hadeshen, which then he goes to the big pile of ashes in the middle of Mizbeach, that it should be the same thing as Yom Kippurim, which would translate regarding the Avodah of Hitzas Hadeshen, Shepeshit Bigdei Kodesh V'Levish Bigdei Chol, that he would first have to take off his sanctified Kohanic Levushim, his garments, and put on his unconsecrated garments. And that is because, just like the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippurim, that he constantly changes his garments between the different services that he does. And that is the first avodah he does with the Bigdei Zav, with the gold, with the Shemayim Begadim, with the golden garments. Second one he does with the four white linen garments. Third one he does with the golden. Fourth one he does with the white. So too, we would think to say that this person, the Kohen, who is going from the Trumas Hadeshen to the Hitzas Hadeshen, he also has to change. Now, he obviously can't change between the Bigdei Lavan and the Bigdei Zahav, because he's a Kohen Hedjit, and he never does the Avodah with Bigdei Zahav. That's only Kohen Gadol wears that. So therefore, I would assume to say that he would change from Bigdei Kodesh, which is what he does the Trumas Hadeshen with, as the pasuk says, "Belavash HaKohen Midei Vad," when you're doing the Trumas Hadeshen, you have to wear the Bigdei Kohuna. Then it's saying that he's Vayivshadais, and he takes them off, and then he puts on the Bigdei Chol, and then he goes out to do Hitzas Hadeshen. That's what I would think from the pasuk, because if you read the pasuk, it sounds like that. That you take off what you're wearing, which is L'chaira going back on the pasuk before of Trumas Hadeshen, and that has to be Bigdei Kohuna, and the Bigdei Kodesh. And then you put on Bogadim Acherim, other garments, which would sound like, okay, now your weekday clothing, not the Avodah clothing. And then you do it, again, similar to by Yom Kippurim, which you change from one type to another type. And that the Brice says, Tam Aloyma, that's what the pasuk comes to teach you. Ufashad es begadav, v'lov es begad machem. It says he takes off his garments, which is the garments of the Trumas Hadeshen, and he puts on other garments. But makish begadim shalayvish, the pasuk is equating the garments that you put on, meaning from the end of the pasuk, for the Hitzas Hadeshen, to take the ashes totally out of the camp, lebegadim shapayshit, that it compares to the garments that he's taking off, which what he had just done before, of the Trumas Hadeshen, to tell you, the malahal in Bigdei Kodesh, just like over there by Trumas Hadeshen. It was talking about Bigdei Kodesh, like we explained, we're doing Trumas Hadeshen, which is what he's taking off now, his sanctified garments. Afkan Bigdei Kodesh. Here also, when you're doing the Hitzas Hadeshen, taking out the ashes, also has to be Bigdei Kodesh. Then the question is, so then what does the pasuk mean when it says that he takes off those garments and puts on, quote, other garments? What are other garments in this context, if it's not Bigdei Chayil? In other words, we thought it would be like Yom Kippurim. You should change from one type to the other type. And here he only has Kodesh or Chayil, so he would change from Kodesh to Chayil. But we're saying that, no, you keep it because they're both Kodesh. So what is Begad Machirim? So now the Brice has a Machlokes. Tanakama says, P'chusin Mehen, when it says other garments, other is like a lower term, like the lesser than those other ones. On that, it means to say, like worn out garments or the linen garments that are not so shiny, which are not so expensive. And the reason why you would take a lesser garment to go ahead and take out the ashes is because the ashes makes the one who's carrying it out of the machna, it makes the clothing dirty. Now it's embarrassing for the king, for Hashem, that the avodah that you're doing on the by the Mizbeach, regarding to the service of the consumption, so to speak, the eating of the Mizbeach, that it should have the same clothing that you use to take out something that's dirty, take it outside, which are the ashes, and hence the Pasuk is telling you to use other garments, but it still has to be a big day Kodesh. Rabbi Elazar, I mean, he says a different interpretation. He says, Acherim Vahiti. Now, when you read the Pasuk, it sounds like it says that he takes off his garments, Velovish Begadim Acherim, and he puts on other garments. And then the Pasuk says, and Vahiti Esadeshin, El Mechutz Lamach, and he takes out the ashes out of the camp. But Rabbi Elazar is learning, Acherim Vahiti, that the word Acherim is going on the word of the second half of the Pasuk, of the Kayin. That is, Liman al Kahanim Bali Mumin. It teaches about Kahanim, that even if they're Bali Mumin, who generally a kind of has a blemish, cannot do that Vaida, Shekesher in Lohitzi Adeshin, that he is valid to do that Vaida. And it's saying that Kahanim, that are Acherim, in other words, they're other in the sense of that generally they cannot do other Avaidas, they are kosher for this Avaida. And therefore, that's the two different interpretations. But ultimately, that the Hitzas Adeshin is done with Big Dekodesh, just like the Trumas Adeshin is done. However, Acherim is either that the garments are lesser on some level, or the Kahanim could be lesser, in the sense that they could be Balmum. Now the Gemara explains this brisa. Amamar. So the Tanakhama had said Acherim, that it means Pchusin Mehen. When you're doing the Hitzas Adeshin, it's garments that are lesser than, it's not your regular Kahanic vest garments that you wear when you're doing the Voidah by the Mizbeach. So now the Gemara explains, Ke the Tana Beir Bishmal, the Tana de Beir Bishmal, like a Tana had learned in the Yeshiva Beir Bishmal, that Begadim Shebishal Ben Kedei L'Rabbi, with the following Moshel, that the garments that a person cooks the food for his master, L'Yimzig Ben Kaisel Rabbi, that should not be the same clothing he wears when he actually pours and he comes to serve for the king. And that's because his garments get smoky and dirty when he's cooking the pot. And therefore it's not proper to go ahead and be fitting for the king to serve him with the same clothing. So here also, by the Hatzoyas Adesh and taking out the ashes, it's not honorable for Hashem, for the king, to serve him with another type of service that's bringing him the food with the garments that get soiled by taking out the Deshin, and therefore we use lesser than garments when we're doing the Avodah. Now the Gemara qualifies this machlokes that we brought in the Braisa. Amar Shlokesh says, Kemachlokes Bahitza. The same machlokes we had in the Braisa regarding the Hitzah Sadeshin, taking out the ash, again, that's not the same as the Trumah Sadeshin. That is, after we already took off our Trumah, you have all these ashes now in the middle of the Mizbeach, you take it out, the Machna, because you need to make room for new Karbanas. So we said regarding that Rebbe Eliezer had said that a Balmum, generally a Balmum cannot do the Avodah, but he could do the Avodah by Hitzah Sadeshin. So Rish Lakish says, Kach Machlokes Barama, essentially, really, that's the same machlokes they would have by Trumah Sadeshin. That Rebbe Elazar would hold that even the Baal Mum could do the Avodah by the Trumas Adeshin too, by taking off that shovelful and putting it on the side. However, Rebbe Yochanan says no. He says, Machlokes Baitza, you're right, they have this Machlokes, as it says in the Braisa, by Hitzas Adeshin, that Rebbe Elazar allows even the Baal Mum. About Rama Debri Akol Avodah, but regarding Trumas Adeshin, everyone agrees that it's considered an Avodah, and Avodah is only allowed by a coin that's a Tam that's not a Baal Mum, and therefore he wouldn't be able to do, even according to Rebbe Elazar, the Avodah of the Trumas edition, only of the Hitzas edition. Now the Gemara asks, my time in the Rish Lakish, what's the reason of Rish Lakish that he does not consider Trumas edition even as Navoida, and therefore Rebbe Elazar would allow even the Baal Mum to do the Trumas edition? Some Lachi tells you that if you would assume, like Rebbe Yechanan, that Trumas edition is Navoida, is there any other Avodah? Show me another Avodah that's valid for the Kohen to be wearing just two out of his four Kahanic vestments. Because here the Pasuk, when it talks about Trumas Adeshin, it only says, Midoy Vad, he should wear his linen tunic, and Umichnas Evad, and his linen pants. Nothing more. So, but if it was Avodah, how could you wear only two out of the four? Obviously, it's not an Avodah. And therefore, a Baal Mum can do the Avodah, quote, Avodah, which is not really an Avodah, of the Trumas Adeshin. However, Rabbi Yechon would respond, Gali Rachmana Bechseines Umechnesayim. The Torah just has to reveal to you regarding, like you said, yes, it only talks about the tunic and his shirt and his pants, but it teaches you that obviously he cannot use his unconsecrated, his big day chayil. Now, from that alone, you would understand that it's not Vaida, because if it was not Vaida, why would he have to use his Mechnesayim and his Kseines of Kaidish? So obviously, by your own, you could understand that the same thing would apply to his hat and to his belt, that of course you need big day kahuna, because or else why would it say even mechnesayim and kesaynis? It would just let you do whatever you want. So obviously it's an avoida. Therefore you have to have the four begadim, and that's why Balmum cannot do it. So the Gemara asks, Umaish Nahani. So then if that's the case, like Rabbi Yochanan, that it is an avoida and Balmum can't do it, and therefore you need all four begadim, so why does it pick just two out of the four? Let it just be quiet. Just say that it has to be done with a kain. I would know it's an avoida, and that's it. Why does it pick two out of the four? It sounds like Rish Lakish that you only need two and not all four. So that the Gemara answers that Rabbi Yochanan says the reason why I picked these two was to tell you two specific halachas, even though you need all four, but midei vad, when it says his linen shirt, that comes to teach you with the term midei to tell you kimidasai, that his tuning has to be according to his specific measurements. And it comes to teach you regarding the kasainis of all kahanim has to be according to his height. It shouldn't be dragging on the floor and it shouldn't be too pulled up from the ground. It shouldn't be too short, as the Gemara says in Masechta Zvachim, and if you're Tchesim and Aleph. Now, and the reason why it picks the other one, Michnas Evad, when it picks the linen pants, that comes to teach you regarding what it says in the context of the Pasuk. Like the time like we learned the Braisa. Minayin Shalehei Dover Koydim L'michnasayim. How do we know the Braisa asks that no other of the Kahana garment should be on the Koyin before his pants? Shnei like it says the Pasuk in Be'yikra. U'michnas Evad Yilbash Abesari, that linen pants he should wear on his flesh. Now, it sounds like that he puts on his breeches, his pants, when he's still naked, because that it sounds like the only thing that's on him is his flesh. And the reason is because if not, then what would be the purpose of saying the words al-basare, if not to say that the only thing he has is basar. And then you're putting on your michnasayim to teach you, that's the first thing you put on. That's why it said that it didn't need michnasay vad per se, because we know you have to do all four big day kahuna like Rabbi Yochanan holds. It just said because it had to say michnasay vad yilbash abesur to tell you that it's the first thing that goes on when you get stressed. That's why it said it, again, to say these two specific halachas. That's why I picked these two. But truthfully, it's all four that are necessary, and therefore even Rabbi Lazar would agree that a balmum cannot do that void of trumas hadesh. However, Shlakish, that he said that the Torah was specifically said these two to say that you don't need all four of the Big Tikkun. From where does he know these halachas that Rabbi Yochanan is telling us that it has to be, the Kohen has to be according to the measurement of the Kohen, and that the first thing that the Kohen puts on has to be his Michnasayim? So he learns out these two drushes from the terminology of the Pasuk, from the vernacular, and that is Midoi Kimidasai. It says in the Pasuk the term Midoi, to tell you that it's like its measurement, midah afkir achmana, b'loshen midoy. From the fact that the Torah used the term midoy, it should have said kisoynes, but it doesn't, to tell you this halacha, this drush, again, it's picking the shirt, because only the shirt and the pants are necessary. But why did it use the term of midoy? It could have used kisoynes, to tell you it should be according to his measurement. And shalo yehidavar koydim l'mechnesayim, and from the fact that nothing should be before his pants, that was mi'al besari nafka, that was learned out from the term that on his flesh. In other words, no, we picked the term Michnas Evat to say only pants. But why did it say Al-Basarai? That's extra. And that he used to learn, that same halacha, that it has to be the first thing on his flesh, comes as Michnasayim. Now the Gemara says, and truthfully, this machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan Shlakish, sounds like it's a machlokes tanoim, if Trumas Hadeshen is Navoida or not. As the Gemara brings the following braisa, it says in the Pasuk Al-Basarai, by Trumas Hadeshen, it says that it should be on his flesh. Now, mat tama loyma yilbash. What does the pasuk mean to say when it says yilbash? And that is, it should have written umechni sevad al basari, and that his linen pants, again, as we said by the voida of the Trumas edition, it only says his mechnasayim and his kseinus machlikis if it's only those two or all four. Now, it should have said that the mechni sevad goes on his basar. And then it would have, because it would have been in context, been going back on the word velavash of the beginning of the pasuk. Why does it have to go ahead and say yilbash again, the term of that he will put on by michnasayim? So that the Gemara, that the Braisa is saying to include another levisha. Now there's a machlok, is exactly what is the added levisha that's coming to tell us. But the first opinion is saying that it's coming to include also the two other garments of the big day kohuna of a kohen hedi that weren't mentioned in the pasuk, and that is lehevi mitznefes va'avnit la rama, that it's coming to include the hat and the belt to do the trumas hadeshen divrei Yehuda. If Yehuda says, why does it say again yilbash? Well, it's extra in the context of putting on this mechnasayim. It wouldn't have to say the term yilbash. It's coming to say another levisha has to be done, that of the two other garments, and that's like the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, although it would seem. Rabbi Deisa says, he says that the term yilbash, again, which is extra, says, l'rabbis bigdei kohen gadol b'yom kippurim. That comes to teach a different halacha. that it comes to add the big day, that is the Kohen Gadol, on Yom Kippurim, although generally he wears the Shemayim garments, 8 garments, on Yom Kippurim he only wears 4 white linen garments. So it's coming to tell us, Shekhsherin L'Kohen Hedyot, that those 4 are valid for a regular Kohen to wear the rest of the year. Now, because how do we know that? Because we learned the word Yilbash over here, and it says the word Yilbash over there, to say that just like over here, by the Trumas Hadeshim, where it says the regular Kohen doing the Avodah says Yilbash, and by the Kohen Gadol says Yilbash, to say that those 4 begadim, a regular Kohen could use throughout the year. Now, the intention of what Reb Deis is coming to tell us is because it says after the Kohen Gadol finishes Avodah with these 4 white linen garments, it says V'hinichim Sham, he should leave them over there. So he's coming to forewarn and say, don't say when it says you should leave them there that they have to be buried over there, as there is an opinion that says that. But rather, Reb Deis holds, V'hinichim Sham means to say that he can't use it another year, that Kohen Gadol. He would have to get a different one. But another Kohen Hedyot could use that, and that's what we're learning from Yilbash to tell you, and that's what the extra word Yilbash is coming to tell us, that a Kohen Hedyot can use those 4 garments. That was the second opinion in the Braisa regarding what's the term Yilbash. Again, either Yilbash is coming to say to add the other 2 out of the 4 garments, that you have to wear all 4 garments by doing the Trumas Hadeshen, or Yilbash is coming to compare the Kohen Hedyot doing an Avodah of Trumas Hadeshen and the Kohen Gadol who wears those 4 white garments, and you could take those 4 garments for a regular Kohen Hedyot for the rest of the year. However, the third opinion, Amar Rebbe, Rebbe first told to Reb Daisa that said that a Kohen Hedyot could wear the Kohen Gadol's 4 white garments for the rest of the year. He says, Shtei Tshuvas B'Davar. There's 2 responses that are challenges to your opinion. Chada, first of all, Davnetish HaKohen Gadol, the belt of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippurim, which is made out of linen, Loi Zehu Avnet Shel Kohen Hedyot, that's not the same belt as a Kohen Hedyot, what he wears throughout the year, because a Kohen Hedyot, his belt is only made out of klayim, out of a mixture of wool and linen, and therefore, yes, although it might seem like that it's the same 4 garments, it's not, because the belt of the Kohen Gadol is different, so how can you say he can wear his garments the rest of the year when the Kohen Gadol wears linen and the Kohen Hedyot wears klayim? V'ayit, another difficulty with your opinion is, Begadim shenishtamesh has ben kedusha chamura, the garments that were used for such a holy, sanctified avodah, that of the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippurim and the Kodesh HaKodeshim, tishtamesh ben kedusha kalah, should be used for a lighter sanctity, that of a regular Kohen Hedyot doing regular avodahs on a different day of the year. How can you say that? Say lematam aloyim yilbash. It says so. Rebbe gives his own third opinion. So what does the word yilbash come to teach? If he just said challenges that it wouldn't make sense to say that it means to say that you can a Kohen Hedyot can use the big day, the 4 begadim of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim. So therefore, we continue on top of Chavdalam and Aleph. Rebbe says, L'rabbis es hashchakim. That comes to include worn-out garments. In other words, it's coming to tell you that what's the extra term, yilbash, that he will wear. In other words, to say that another thing that you would not think you could wear, which are worn-out garments that every avodah, as long as it's not torn, as the Gemara explains in Masechet Zevachim, Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, saying it could even be worn out. That's what it's increasing with the levisha, another type of garment that you would thought you can't. That's what's including. Now, the Gemara says, and this is brought in parenthetically because it's related to what we had introduced regarding Reb Deis' opinion, it says in the Pasuk of the Kohen Gadol, when he finishes the avodah in Kippurim, it says, V'nichim Sham, he should leave them there. So there's a machloikis. First opinion says, Malamet Shatun Magneza. It means to say it has to be buried there. It actually has to stay there forever. Reb Deis Aimer, and this is related to his opinion that we mentioned, he says, no, Ru'uyin Hein L'Kohen Hedyot. They're fit for the Kohen Hedyot. No, Matam Alemet V'nichim Sham. So what does it mean that you should leave them there? It means, Shalei Yishtamash Ben Yom Kippurim Acha. It means to say that this Kohen Gadol cannot use it for another Yom Kippurim. He has to leave it there, but some other Kohen Hedyot can go ahead and take it and use it for himself. However, the Gemara now concludes what we had said regarding, let's say the Machlekes Rabbi Yochanan Shlakish is a Machlekes Tanoim. And that is, my love, doesn't it make sense to say that the Machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Deisa, they're actually arguing about the Machlekes of Rabbi Yochanan Shlakish. And that is because the Mar Sava, Rabbi Yehuda, that he expounds the term Yilbash to include the Mitznefes and the Avnate, that you have to wear all the 4 garments that he obviously holds, that Avvaidahi, that it's not Vaidah. And that's why you have to have all 4 garments, including the Mitznefes and the Avnit, which is like Rabbi Yechanan. Umar Savan, Rabbi Deisa held that Lav Avodah is not an Avodah, and therefore you don't have to include the Mitznefes and the Avnit. You could do it just with the shirt and the pants. And that's like Rish Lakish, and therefore he used Yilbash to tell you a different halacha, to learn out that the Kohen Hedyot, you can use the Dalet Begadim of the Kohen Gadol of Yom Kippurim the rest of the year. I think Mar says, Loi, no. The Kuliyam, in truth, everyone holds Avoidihi, that Trumas Adeshin is an Avoidah. And like Rabbi Yechanan, and that you have to have the four garments. But V'hocha B'hokim Evgir, what they were arguing about was as follows, that is Marsav, Rabbi Yehuda held, Tzricha Kroli Rebuye. You need to have a pasuk to include the other two of the Mitznefes and the Avnet, because that you shouldn't think to say that, oh, the pasuk only says two of them. I would think, oh, you only need two of them. And I would assume that maybe it's not an avoid, as actually Rish Lakish holds. And that's why he has to say that Yilbash comes to include those other two. However, Marsav, Reb Deisa held, no, to the contrary. Not that he held that you don't need all four, but rather, Loit Tzricha Kroli Rebuye. You don't even need a pasuk to include them, to say that you need them, and that is because of logic, and that is since the Torah tells you that you have to have Ksainis Bad Kodesh and Umichnasei Kodesh, you have to have the big dekuna of your pants and your shirt. So obviously it's not Veda, and obviously you need to have all four. And therefore you don't even need a pasuk of Yilbash to tell you to include them in Tznevas and the Avnei, because obviously it's not Veda. So therefore he says, so what is the extra word Yilbash come to teach you? To include the begadim of the Kohen Gadol and Mikipurim that the Kohen had you could use it the rest of the year. Because you don't even need it to tell you. But obviously he would hold, like Rabbi Yechanan, that all the Tanaim would agree to Rabbi Yechanan, that of course it is an Avoida, and even Rabbi Lazar would agree that the Baal Mum cannot do the Avoida of Trumas Adeshin, he only argues the Avoida of Tzas Adeshin, and that's why you have to have all the Dal Begadim. The only machlokes was, do you need a Pasuk of Yilbash to tell you that? Or would logic dictate, and you wouldn't even need the Pasuk to tell you that, and therefore you could use Yilbash to teach you a different halacha.